Get ready to rack to school at your Nordstrom Rack store, because the deals are amazing. Levi's, Adidas, Volcom, and Hurley from only $20. Save on everyone's favorite denim, sneakers, boots, backpacks, and more at Nordstrom Rack. But hurry, get first dibs on new arrivals from just $20 and make it the best school year ever. Great brands, great prices. That's why you rack.
This is Movers and Shakers, where we interview the upcoming generation of Make It Happen multifamily investors to share their story.
Welcome to the Movers and Shakers podcast. My name is Gino Barbaro, co-founder of Jake and Gino, multifamily investor, educator, father, mentor, and I'm joined by my co-host, Joshua Ryan Rudson, the community director of Jake and Gino. Josh, how are you doing this fine morning?
Gino, super excited, man. We have next weekend our Buy Right Bootcamp. And even before that, we have our coaches retreat where we get everyone together. We do some team bonding activities and some masterminding. So a lot of big things coming around the corner. How about you, my friend?
We're in the middle of the summer, going to the beach, nice hot weather. Everyone complains it's hot. I love hot weather. So it's been an amazing summer for me and just having a great time, bro.
Love it, man. Let's get into today's guests. So we have two of the three members of Blue Oak Capital. So Blue Oak Capital is a Houston-based private equity firm focused on the acquisition of cash flow producing multifamily real estate across the U.S. Blue Oak Capital is dedicated to business excellence by creating a culture founded on trust, transparency, integrity, respect, and commitment. Their mission is to strengthen their relationships and partnership with those around them, help others obtain financial freedom through commercial real estate investing, and improve the lives and communities in which they serve by providing safe, affordable, and accommodating housing. Blue Oak is comprised of Cody Laughlin, John Beatty, and Brian Alfaro. Today on the show, we have Cody and Brian joining us. Welcome to the show, gentlemen.
Josh, thanks for introducing us. And I'm going to have to agree with Gino. I'm a born and raised Texan. I love the heat.
Nothing like it, right, guys? I want to jump in because your stories are both unique and both emblematic of a lot of the Jake and Gino students. When they join the community, they have this mindset of how multifamily is supposed to work. And when they join, it's like, wow, this really is an entrepreneurial venture. This is not just buying a couple buildings and being by myself and thinking I can do everything by myself. Brian, why don't you start with your story and then we'll jump over to Cody.
Absolutely. First of all, thanks for having us on the show again. Really appreciate the opportunity. And we love being a part of this great community. You guys have built something phenomenal here. But my journey in particular has been one I would say is probably pretty common in the real estate industry in particular. I started off in the single family space, and that was in 2018. And I know you've coined my term, ROE, return on effort, right, Gina? So I realized very quickly that in that business, although it is a business where I still think you can build tremendous amounts of wealth, there's lots of operators out there that have a good systems in place, and you know they're self-managing and they're happy and they're cash flowing, and that's totally okay. But it didn't really align with my personal goals, what I was trying to accomplish for myself as a real estate investor, generating both active real estate income and passive real estate income as well. So I had a mindset shift and decided, you know, I really needed to change the way I was thinking. I needed to stop thinking small and worrying about, you know, can I put 20% of my own capital down on these deals and really look for partners and scale a business, not just scale a single family business. So late 2019, early 2020, right around the time COVID hit, which is sort of a blessing in disguise for me personally, from a mindset standpoint, I had time to slow down and think and really decided to focus on commercial real estate, focus on multifamily real estate investing. I met John Beatty at a multifamily online bootcamp. We got connected. I had dropped somewhere in the conversation that I think I had just started speaking to Josh and Dylan at the program. And, you know, he gave me some insight into that and spoke to a couple other students. And before you know it, I made the leap, jumped off the cliff and joined the community. And, you know, luckily I found out it was an awesome experience. And through that, I was able to meet Cody, who had just partnered up with John and formed Blue Oak Capital. I'm sure he'll share some details on that. But once we all got together, I think it was around August when I joined their partnership, we really just started focusing on building our brand, building our business, building our database out of investors. And here we are here in Houston and looking to do some more deals.
Awesome. Cody,
Yeah, again, I echo Brian's sentiments, man. Thank y'all so much for having us on the show. And it's really cool to see things coming full circle. I've been following you guys for years and obviously being a part of the mentorship with y'all over the past, almost 2 years. And then now to be on your show, it's just a great experience. But, you know, I started a W-2 career in 2008. My wife and I were kind of chasing the American dream, right? We just graduated college. We bought our first home after relocating here to Houston, Texas. And we were on the path to that American standard of living, so to speak. Right. And so 2010, we decided to sell that first home, but it was in the heart of the Great Recession. And we ended up becoming accidental landlords because we couldn't sell it. Right. We had purchased another home and we still had that one. All we knew is we couldn't afford to pay two mortgages. And so we just stuck a tenant in there and said, you know what, we'll figure it out. So that was my introduction into real estate. But at the same time, I was also observing people in my W-2 network, that were being significantly impacted by the financial crisis. You know, people that are working 30, 40 years, getting ready to retire, that could no longer plan for retirement because their retirement assets have been decimated. And so it got me thinking, I was like, man, this doesn't make sense. Like, that's not what we were brought up to believe, you know, as far as security and long-term wealth. And so I started studying and just trying to learn as much as I could about investing and wealth preservation. And of course, ran across the purple Bible that we all know, the Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and kind of the rest is history. So instead of chasing a career in the healthcare corporate ladder, I started to pursuing real estate entrepreneurship and, I've been spent the better part of the past decade pursuing real estate. And as Brian alluded to, I made my transition to exclusively focus on multifamily 2019 after just realizing that single family it was a harder model to scale, at least for my investing goals. And so made that transition, met John Beatty, found a great alignment of interest there, formed Blue Oak Capital. We started hustling and just kind of creating a framework for the business, and then met Brian. And like you said, midway through last year, and now we're off to the races. So it's been a great ride.
I want everyone to take note that Brian and Cody mentioned something very important. They mentioned my goals. And I think that's something that we strive at Jake and Gino to work on, personal development, because what may be working for them may not be working for the listener on the call. So, stop and think. I want everyone to close their eyes for a second and just think about, what are your goals? Your goals may be single family. There's nothing wrong with the single family space, but for these two gentlemen and for Josh and myself, it's ludicrous. I don't want to buy 25 homes a year, have 25 mortgages, have 25 insurance. I don't want to have 25 lawns to cut. I'd rather buy a 70 unit apartment complex, have one closing, one escrow. That works for us. That's scalable, because on my journey, when I started, I had a W-2. I had the restaurant. I couldn't be doing both at the same time. I could do multifamily part-time. And then when I was ready to leave, I was able to leave. So everyone, stop. Let's take a deep breath and let's start with your investing goals. What are your investing goals? And for what these two guys are saying, it makes a ton of sense of why multifamily can fit into so many people's different investing goals. Now, question for both of you, Brian first and then Cody. What problems were you experiencing in multifamily before joining Jake and Gino? And then the follow-up call, follow-up after you both answered it, just think about it. What problems were solved after you joined the community as far as finding deals? Brian, you first.
Yeah, that's a great question. And that's actually one I get pretty common from people looking at mentorship. And I think my biggest challenge, or one of my biggest challenges, was just having the resources at my disposal. You know, having people that have already been where you're at, people that are just getting started, people that are maybe doing their first deal, people that are talking to brokers, talking to property managers. And I think being surrounded by like-minded people is something that's so underrated about joining any type of mentorship group. It's not just about, getting plugged in and then getting, quote unquote training or education. You know, I've had people that have asked me like, hey, so when did you finish your training and start buying real estate? I'm like, that's not how this works. Like, it's not a training class that you take, over the course of 30 days. And then now I've got a little certificate that I can go around and start buying properties. You're always educating, you're always learning. And I'm sure, Jake, Josh, you guys would all agree with that. Even though you guys have been in this business now for a significant amount of years, every day you're learning something new. So I think getting plugged into that community, seeing what other people were doing, how other people were making it happen, as we like to say, and sort of learning that you don't have to reinvent the wheel. You just want to follow the path, follow, you know, what other people are doing to be successful. And then having those resources at your disposal, being able to reach out, you know, if you say like, man, I have a question about this, dropping it, you know, either in one of our forums or having somebody on speed dial or a text message, you can call one of our coaches. That was the biggest opportunity for me, and really helped change that mindset that it's not, how do I figure this out? It's, who do I need to talk to figure this out? Right. We say that all the time. When you have a problem, it's only because you haven't talked to the right person yet. There's always somebody out there, whether it's, you know, somebody that's close to your circle, somebody outside your circle that's within the community that can help solve that problem for you and kind of guide you. So that was my biggest takeaway and has been the biggest benefit for me.
Cody?
You know, you have to have three things in this multifamily space, right? Experience, net worth, and liquidity. Well, when I made that transition from single family to multifamily, I had none. Right. And started from scratch, and it started building an infrastructure again that, you know, could be expanded and scalable. But, you know, one of the, as Brian just alluded to, one of the most important aspects of this business is your relationship and your network, right? You have to have a community of people around you to help you grow, because it's such a relationship driven business. And so I think one of the biggest challenges kind of went before entering into Jake and Gino is, hey, how do we expand our network and get access into resources that we don't have currently today? And so that was the immediate fix for us journeying with, you know, you guys at Jake and Gino, was being a part of a community that was well established, that had a great network, and most importantly, that had the right culture. And I think that's important to talk about too, is having the right culture that fit us as investors and as people, right? Gino, you're a father of six, you're an entrepreneur, you're juggling multiple hats, you know, and as a father myself who still maintains a W-2 and whatever, it's not just a, hey, how do you go buy buildings, but it's, hey, how do you manage both being an entrepreneur and being present at home and being a still good husband and father and things like that, you know? So I think that was the biggest takeaway for us being a part of the community, is just really finding a culture that really suited us as investors and people. And just really, like Brian said, having that network that we can always rely on, that people that feel and believe the same thing that we do when it comes to investing. And, you know, community is everything in this business for sure. So.
And I want to chime in on that, Gino. I think that's something that a lot of people don't think about when they're considering mentorship. Everybody's thinking about the X's and O's and the dollars, right? How do I buy buildings? And then how do I put this together so that it makes sense? If you don't have a support system at home and within your group, and it's more of a, you know, cutthroat competitive environment where people aren't looking to not only support you at home, but within the group, that's something that you just can't be taken for granted. You really need that, because we all know as entrepreneurs and as real estate investors, there's going to be some days where you're just hitting your head on the wall, right? You get invest and final, you don't win. Broker tells you no. Investor tells you no. They're not giving you, you know, any money on the deal you're raising for. You get a call from your property manager and there's a water leak, right? There's a lot of challenges that go along with this business, and having somebody there to pick you up in that right culture and that right community, that is invaluable in my opinion.
Do you mind if I add a couple of things to what you guys have both said?
Sure.
Yeah.
So the first thing that comes to my mind is the accountability. You guys have an accountability piece there with coaches. And that's truly important, because when you don't feel like answering the property manager's call, and then you get on with your coach is like, well, why didn't you do that? A testament to you both. You've come to multiple events, right? There's a quote by Benjamin Franklin. You know, you show somebody, they'll learn it forever. I forgot what it was. You teach them, you show them. And it's important that you guys show up at these boot camps, at these trainings, at these money mixers, on the weekly lessons. As Brian said, it is a constant journey of improvement. The biggest objection that I get when I hear people trying to get into the space is, I want to find deals. Yeah, we all want to find deals, but that's not where you start. You need the foundation. You need to know how to buy right, manage right, finance right, and then syndicate, and then learn how to raise capital. You're dangerous out there if you're raising capital, but you don't know how to analyze a deal and analyze a sponsor and all that. So it really is a holistic journey that you have to encapsulate every part of this business. And listen, I made that mistake as a new investor. When I first started out, my objection was, Jake and Gino, how are we going to find a deal? And I learned that wasn't where the focus is. The focus should be really creating that foundation. It may take you 6 months to get that foundation going, but in the meanwhile, you're coming to a boot camp. You're meeting other students who are having those challenges. You're refining your goals, because I will guarantee you, most investors, when they first start out, they don't know what the three pillars of real estate is, the market cycle, the debt, the exit strategy. They don't know what their plan is. All they're playing is, I want to find a deal in cash flow. Well, that's going to get you into big trouble if you don't know what kind of deal you're looking for, what kind of metrics you're looking for, what your five-year goals are, what your 10-year goals are. There's a lot that encapsulates this business. And to do it right, Brian said, success leaves clues. Find people out there who are doing what you're doing. The personal development is important. The accountability is important. Now that you guys have been in the group for a while, and one other thing, a couple of things I need to mention. These two are taking massive action. They've started a podcast. They have a meetup. All the things that they see that their peer group is doing, they're doing it. Now, I don't want to attribute the success all to Jake and Gino, but if they had been on an island by themselves, maybe they wouldn't have gotten the idea to do it. The idea is everything. Once we have the idea, it's amazing. You need to take action, education times action. And all of a sudden they have the support group. They start the podcast. I was on their meetup last week, last Thursday. They had, I don't know, 50, 60 people on a meetup. Amazing, right? And that's what happens. You start selecting your peer group and you start looking at people that you want to be like. You start mirroring their actions and then you have the confidence to do it. And then all of a sudden, a little tweak. How do I do this? How do I do that? They can get those answers. Brian, now you guys have got your first deal. Let's talk about that. I mean, let's talk about the struggles you had finding the first deal. Let's talk about the way you shifted from buying duplexes and triplexes and quads into saying, let's go into something bigger. Can we discuss that?
Yeah, absolutely. I actually want to give a little hockey assist here and pass this one over to Cody, because I know when I joined the community, I was thinking like, I'm going to buy 10, 12 units or whatever. And I started talking to Cody and started talking to John and realized that if you make the mindset shift, there really is no limit to the size of property that you can buy. And now I'm not recommending necessarily that you go out and buy 300 units at your first property necessarily, but I just want to make that a point that you're really only going to accomplish what your mindset is. And, Cody and John really helped me to think bigger, which is why we're able to, and again, I want to pass this over to Cody, why we're able to do that big first deal. And I want to also pass it to him because he's got some interesting stories and some struggles that he kind of did first starting out on the smaller stuff that I think could be very valuable to the listeners.
Thanks, Brian. Listen, it was a team effort, but I think what Brian's alluding to when I made that transition to multifamily, and just very similar to most other people, right, is you start thinking small. You start thinking on a micro level, like maybe I just do a quadplex or maybe I just do a 10 unit, right? Because it's easier to wrap your head around. But what you realize is after you start analyzing those properties, looking at those properties, maybe even having opportunities to manage some of those properties, you realize that, man, as you get bigger, the properties get easier, right? The deal transactions get easier. Like everything becomes easier because you have economies of scale. And I had that kind of epiphany moment in 2019 after just starting, where I was working on a partnership with a different group on a deal that was in Tulsa, Oklahoma. It was a 107 unit deal. And I started to see the power of the economies of scale, right? And the unfortunate thing through that experience is in trying to raise that capital, I raised $0 for that deal. And I had a very small soft commit that I had to convert, raised $0. And it was, at the time, it was probably one of the worst experiences I went through. But in hindsight, it was the best experience I could have gone through because it was the best lessons learned. And it really helped pave the way for our business moving forward on how to do this business the right way, but going back to the point, I think we were just alluding to the fact that, you're your own limitation, right? There's no reason why you can't go out and do, a 50, 100 unit, 150 unit deal out of the gate. It's just about a matter of what type of effort and work are you willing to put in? And like you said, just showing up, right? Building relationships and networking with the right people that can afford you those opportunities. And that's exactly what we did, right? We started building a community around us of people that were experienced operators that were very visible and present in our market. And we were in the process of still analyzing and sourcing our own opportunities. But I think the unfortunate timing of us entering in the multifamily space is we came in into a time where it was very, very competitive already. COVID hits, kind of slowed everybody down. And then now post-COVID, it's become even more competitive, right? I mean, it's extremely, extremely deep when it comes to the amount of competition on every deal, especially in the desirable markets like Texas, Tennessee, you guys know very well. And so, we're competing against a lot of big players, right? And so how do you make yourself stand out and establish yourself when you don't have that liquidity, or you maybe don't have that experience, right? Well, you partner with other people. And so we spent all the time and effort through you know, the last part of 19 all the way through 2020, trying to find deals, weren't having any luck. We were putting out offers. And then 2021 came around and we're like, look, we did a ton of networking last year. We had a huge acceleration in the growth of our database through the networking. And that was a big compliment to Brian, helping us out there with our brand presence and networking. And so 2021 comes and we're like, look, we got to put our database to work, right? We got to get them excited about working with Blue Oak Capital. And so we started going out and saying, if we can't find our own deals, let's go partner with people that have deals. And that's exactly how we found our way into, you know, this deal that we just closed. So I don't know if that answered your question, but.
Absolutely. So I got to ask a deeper question. Why did you have a goose egg on that first raise? Because that's important, because most people out there say, show me the deal and the money will follow. And for maybe Cody and Brian, that's true now. And for Jake and Josh, that's true now. But when you're first in the business, that's not always the truth. Give me a couple of really big learning lessons of what mistakes you made or how you perceived why you were not able to raise any money for that first deal.
Well, you don't know what you don't know, right? And so a lot of people think that, oh, I'll just, you know, you hear this so often where, oh, just tap into your close network, right? Your family and friends first to raise capital. Well, sometimes those are the hardest people to raise capital from. You know, yes. They remember you from the college days when you were out partying and being stupid, or they remember all the dumb things you did in your life. So when you're asking for a $50,000 check, they're gonna be like, no way, bud, you know? Uh-huh. But I think it just goes back to, you have to understand that when you enter this space, you're learning how to be a business owner and operator. And there's multiple skills that come along with doing that. And capital raising is one that, in my opinion, is arguably the most important skill you need to have. But it's also one of the most challenging, because everything that you do related to capital raising boils down to relationships. Like, we always refer to the Dan Hanford model, right? The know, like, and trust, right? So people have to, number one, know who you are to formulate an opinion on whether they like and trust you and want to invest with you. Mm-hmm. And that was the one big mistake that I made going into that first capital raise in 2019. I had just entered the space midway through the year, and I was just tapping into my close network, who I knew people were interested in real estate. But the problem is they didn't have any experience investing in syndication. They really didn't know what it was. I didn't have a very good understanding of what it was. All I knew is, like, I need to go raise money. And so as I started trying to educate them on the fly, all I did was confuse them more. And so ultimately, I wasn't providing enough education and value in a time where I needed capital versus at a time where I didn't. And so ultimately, nobody invested with us. And so, you know, I say this often, where the best time to raise capital is when you don't need it, mm-hmm. right? That is the worst time to raise capital. And what happened for me in that experience is I went from being excited to then getting scared and trying to chase people, mm-hmm. and then becoming desperate. And that pushed people even further away. And that's a bad moment to be in when you're a capital raiser.
I agree.
You did get to meet John, which was
John. Yes.
He still told you no, though.
He did. He gave me some very, very
constructive criticism. Constructive criticism. Listen, everybody out there, I wrote the book, How to Share the Multifamily Secrets, right? The benefits. Email me. It's in the academy. It's in the community. It's on Amazon as well. Just email me. I'll send you a PDF copy, gino@jakeandgino.com. But as you're listening to this podcast, everybody, listen to the transformation that Cody and Brian have had, especially Cody from the very beginning. They've created a brand, Blue Oak Capital. They've formulated their buy right criteria. They've got social media presence. Go on LinkedIn. You know, Brian and Cody, they're very active on social media. They've taken all the steps. They've built the infrastructure. They've built the foundation. Now they have the foundation. Now they know where to focus. So it's really, really important. Like I said before, think about what your buy right criteria is. Think about what your management finance right criteria is, and start building the brand, because we are all brands out there. Now, when I see Brian and Cody, I think of Blue Oak Capital. That's what I think of. They've done their first deal. Last question before we go to the short answers, I want to hear it from both of you. Where do you guys see yourselves in 5 years? What are your goals for the next 5 years as far as units, markets, what you want to accomplish, possibly becoming full-time multifamily investors? Brian, you first.
Well, that's a great question, and something I probably need to refresh compared to when I started. You know, when I was getting started a little over a year ago, my numbers were probably too small. Mm-hmm. I would say 5 years from now, I mean, I think Cody, and part of the reason I joined John and Cody is I think we have a pretty good alignment of interest in short-term and long-term goals. And I say for us, you know, we definitely want to have, our goal was to add about $20 million of assets under management, you know, in the next 12 months. So if you were to, you know, multiply that times four, so we definitely would like to be around $100 million of assets under management in a portfolio as well. And I think for us, for me and my family personally, we just want to be able to build enough real estate income so that, life is comfortable. It's not about necessarily flaunting or anything like that. But, my wife and I are at a point where, we want to start a family and she wants to be able to be there for our kids. And I want to be able to be there for our kids, my kids as well, when they're there and when they're doing all the little things that are really important that you don't want to miss out on. And, mm-hmm. Even though I'm an entrepreneur and I have a couple other small businesses, the goal is just to scale so that, you can live life on your own terms, essentially. And that's really a big thing for us in our real estate. And that's really my big why and motivation. And another thing too, just personally for me, it would feel really good at the end of the day if I was a part of the piece of the equation that John and Cody eventually get to leave their W-2 jobs and be full-time real estate investors as well. That would make me feel really good at the end of the day, if 3 years, 5 years, whatever, sooner rather than later, right, Cody? Cody gets to leave his job and I knew that I was a part of that success. So, there's something about, I know when people get into real estate, it's really hard to sometimes have that mindset shift about being on a team. But, when things are tough, your team picks you up. And when things are going really well, it feels even better to accomplish things together as a team, right? So that's a big part of my motivation and definitely part of what I want to see happen in the next 3 to 5 years.
Thank you. Cody?
Yeah, you talk about transformation, Gino, and it's interesting because when I first started, my initial goals were always about the unit count. Well, how do I get to 1,000 doors? How do I get to that 10,000 doors? And I'll tell you, having gone through this business and transformation, the goals are completely different, right? And so when it comes to our business as a whole, looking at the portfolio, Brian hit it right on the head. We eventually want to be at $100 million of assets or more in the next 5 years, hopefully start talking about going vertical in integration with bringing things like property management, construction in-house, really making this a scalable, larger scale business that we can, hopefully eventually grow and pass down to our families and our children, right? But there's so much more to that now, right? It's more about giving back to the community and whatnot, and being a productive member of the society and establishing Blue Oak as a visible presence in the markets in order to improve the lives of the communities that, we're serving and whatnot. And I think that's huge. And so, Brian, absolutely. He's a huge part of our journey. And we're all going to celebrate that day where we can walk away from the W-2. And you talk about goals. You have to have a very strong, driven why and why you're doing this. Because for anybody listening, this is a grind. It is a lot of work. It's staying up late. It's working around the clock. Trying to juggle all of the different tasks, responsibilities, in addition to managing your W-2, managing your family, it's a ton of work. And so, but for me, the biggest motivating factor is how do I take control of that time and how do I gain that time back? And I get to be the one to dictate what my schedule looks like and where I allocate that time to. So that's the most important thing. So my family is my biggest why and being able to give them, that time back and whatnot. So, that's the goal, is be at the W-2, be at $100 million of assets and more, and find ways to impact the communities that we're serving. So
thanks. Let's take a quick time out to hear from our sponsors.
Gino, I know a lot of our listeners are wanting to take their multifamily investing business to the next level. I know that you've been hard at work helping Jake and Gino students do just that using our framework. Can you explain to the listeners how they can get our help?
Guys, we've been hard at work growing our community of like-minded investors, and the results of our members has been nothing short of incredible. We're looking to grow this amazing group. What we're looking for is those who want to follow our proprietary framework that we've created: buy right, manage right, and finance right. Leverage our connections, education, and mentorship as ways to take your business to the next level.
So if you're interested in finding out more about how you can become a part of our amazing community, apply to work with us at jakeandgino.com/apply.
All right, gentlemen, I got some short answer questions here for you. We'll reverse the order this time. We'll go Cody, then Brian. So what is your favorite book you've ever read and why?
The Bible, the purple Bible. That's for sure. What's your next favorite book?
Next favorite book. Let's see. Oh man, there's so many good ones. Obviously The Wheelbarrow Prophets, Jake and Gino.
Got a little shameless plug in there. Sorry about that, everybody.
Absolutely, man. No, great, great book. I also would encourage people to check out Hal Elrod's The Miracle Morning. And, you know, I think it's a great way to, you know, when you take control of your morning and start, like you said, you know, goal setting and just what it just gives you empowerment through the day. And it really changes the tone and trajectory of your day and your schedule. So I really like that book too, for anybody looking for structure and entrepreneurship.
Awesome. Thank you.
Brian. For me, a book that's had a pretty drastic impact in my life, even before I was in real estate, was Stephen Covey's The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. That's a book. It's a timeless book, in my opinion, no matter what decade you're in. It was written quite a while ago, before I was born, I believe, or right around the time. It just always seems to apply no matter what. And it was a really huge paradigm shift for me. I think I read it when I was 21 or 22. And it's one of those books, also, I always warn people, you have to be in the right place in your life to sort of understand it.
Excellent point. I love that point. You're 100% correct. Sorry for interrupting you, but no. I always think about that. Excellent point.
I've accidentally given it to like some 18-year-olds, and they looked at me like I was crazy.
Yeah.
So, because you have to be in the right place, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, all those things. But, you know, being proactive, beginning with the end in mind, putting first things first, thinking win-win, just all those things that are a part of it, sharpening the saw, right? Always improving. Those are some of the habits of highly effective people. And I think they're timeless and they're a good refresh every year.
I want everyone to think about one of the things that he talks about in the book, Stephen Covey. If you haven't read it, I challenge you all to read it. It's an amazing book. The character ethic versus the personality ethic. You want to be a person of character. There's too many people with personalities out there being on Instagram, trying to be influencers. Try to build the character ethic, because people will be attracted to that. A person who has morals, a person who has values, that values-based decision-making. That's what I've tried to create at Jake and Gino, being that character ethic. And sometimes it's hard because it doesn't translate into great marketing. I'm not around the Lambo. I'm not at my 7th house, but that's okay, because that's not my brand. That's not Cody and Brian's brand. They're people of character. That's what they're working on. And it shows through their branding. It shows through their marketing, and it shows through the deals that they're doing. So it's really important. There are 7 habits. And when you drill down and you go through all of them, it's amazing. The first one, for instance, be proactive. That's what they've done the last 2 years. The next 2 or 3 years, if they continue to be proactive, they're going to have an amazing business on their hands. And then they're going to say, well, Brian and Cody were just lucky. And then no one's going to remember how tough it was to find deals in 2021 or 2022, because it's not going to matter, because they put in all the work. So I want to thank you both for those book recommendations. They were spot on.
Man, love those answers. All right, I'm excited for this next question. What would be your biggest tip for a newer investor just getting started in multifamily investing?
You got to be patient. You absolutely have to be patient. This is not a get rich quick business. This is not a success overnight business. It takes a lot of time, effort, commitment, and discipline. And, you know, you look at, I get, Brian would attest to this as well. You look at the transformation of our business from where we started versus now. I mean, all of the processes and things that we have been putting in place have taken us the better part of almost 2 years, right, Brian? I mean, and so, and yep. And now we're starting to see the fruits of that labor, but it's, you have to be patient, and you have to be, you have to stay the course. You have to be disciplined, mm-hmm. right? You can't veer off path just because things are getting hard or things may not be going quite the way you hope. That's just part of the ride. So you got to hang on, keep your blinders on, and just stay hyper-focused as well.
Awesome. And for me, I think it goes back to that statement I mentioned earlier about it's not how, it's who. And I think networking is probably the thing I tell most people that are entering the space, whether they're just in real estate in general, or multifamily. The multifamily community, you actually find, even though there's a lot of investors, it's very competitive. It's a very tight-knit, small community. I feel like we've gotten pretty ingrained and everybody sort of knows each other, and, you know, you bring up a name and most of the time you know who it is. So the saying is super cheesy. We've all heard that, you know, your network is your net worth, but once you get in this business, it is so true. And once you figure out how strong your network is, the sky is the limit after that. So whether it's trying to find a deal, trying to find a property manager, or trying to attract capital, whatever it is that you're the lane that you're playing in this space, you got to really focus on building your network. No matter if you're new, just be honest, be humble, tell them where you're at, talk whoever you're talking to, and good things will tend to happen the stronger your network is.
I love both your answers, but Cody, your answer really resonates with me, because I want everyone listening to the show right now, what have you done in life that was really worth it, that wasn't challenging, That wasn't difficult. That wasn't worth it. If it's not, then you're not going to put the time into it. This business, if you put the time into it and you really struggle and you progress with it and you spend time, it's worth it. So think of anything you've done in life. That's what life's all about, putting in the effort and knowing your crystal clear why. We don't lack motivation, I keep saying. We just lack the clarity. If you have the clarity of what you want to achieve and then you surround yourself with like-minded people and you create an amazing peer group and you put the work and effort into it, good things will follow.
Absolutely.
Man, I like this. I really think there's been a lot of actionable tips and a very real and accurate picture of what it takes to get started in this business going on here. And, you know, Gino, to sum it up, I think that Ben Franklin quote you mentioned hit really well. You know, tell me and I forget, teach me and I may remember, involve me and I learn.
Yes,
and that really goes with these guys and their journey. And so I think that's a good summation there. But Gino, I know you're going to bring us home with a strong summary.
I want to thank you for bringing the quote up because it just was the tip of my tongue. I couldn't remember it, but really involve me. And that's what I think the Jake and Gino community is all about. It's about involvement. It's not about just watching a few videos and hanging out and going to a bar. It's getting on buses. It's coming down on a Sunday night, trying to leave Knoxville. You lose your flight. And big shout out to Chad Tucker. We're sitting in the airport. Where am I going? He's got to go on vacation next day. The guy gets a car, rents a car. There's no cars during COVID, right? Gets the car, drives 8 hours to get back home down in Florida. Meanwhile, me and my family have to stay another day. 2 months later, he's got a deal. And it's the same thing with these two guys on. Brian really didn't talk about his background. He's a high-level entrepreneur. He's in the coffee business, right? We didn't talk about that. So he already had the mindset. He just didn't have the tools and he didn't have his frame of reference. As Stephen Covey says, people see the world as they are, not as it is. So I think Brian and Cody were seeing the real estate world as the single family home space. That's what they saw it as they were. But when they were introduced to different ideas, different topics, different thoughts, different maps or as paradigms, as Stephen Covey likes to say, everything started changing. I mean, Cody was in the single family space for years. In 2010, he became a landlord. Didn't want to do that, but he got into it. It was a great transformation. 2019, these guys meet, they create this group, Blue Capital. They start putting a lot of work into it. It's not easy coming to the events, learning, continuing to learn, creating a meetup, the podcast. Brian is a ninja on LinkedIn, the marketing, all that goes into play, but they're creating the foundation. They've got their first deal and now they're continuing to add on. So it's amazing what Mark Twain says. And I'll say this quote, it's not what you don't know that's going to get you in trouble. It's what you know for sure that just ain't so. And let that sit and resonate for a while. If you think getting into multifamily is hard, it may be, but behaviors are belief driven. And you think if it's not for you, then you won't do it. But I think these two guys' story today highlights what you can do if you surround yourself with amazing people, you put in the work, you put in the effort, and you continue to think about what your why is.
Love that. Gentlemen, how can the listeners get a hold of you?
Well, like you said, we're very, very active on social media. You can check us both out on LinkedIn. You'll find Brian and I all over the place there. You can check us
out. Hashtag Real Estate Cody.
Hashtag Real Estate Cody. Yeah. you can check us out at our website, www.blueoakinvest.com. We have a great podcast. Like you said, Gino, we've had great guys like you and, Jake on. And, you know, if you want to learn anything and not everything about passive and actively investing in apartment syndication, you could check out the Prosperity Through Multifamily Real Estate Investing podcast. And if you love networking, which you absolutely should, you want to make sure to check us out at the South Texas chapter of the Multifamily and More meetup community, where we host both live and virtual events every month for people all across the country and right here in Houston, Texas. So check us out.
BlueOakInvest.com. That's the website.
Yes, sir.
All right, guys, go check the website out.
Yes. Well, listen, gentlemen, I want to thank you for being an amazing guest on the show and sharing your movers and shakers story. Now, if you like the show, please leave us a review. And until next time, let's make it a movers and shakers week. See you, everybody.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys. Thank you guys so much.
Imagine earning a degree that prepares you with real skills for the real world. Capella University's programs teach skills relevant to your career so you can apply what you learn right away. Learn how Capella can make a difference in your life at capella.edu.